Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 70.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. This week is a bit of a different episode. Sarah in our Facebook group asked, I'd love a podcast on your career journeys starting from after year 12. Would love to know how you arrived at where you are now. Since a whole bunch of other people chimed in with, yes, please talk about this, we thought, why not? So first things first, Kelly, what did you do after finishing high school?
Yes, so I went to University of WA and I studied exercise and sports science. The degree is actually called human movement. It's a Bachelor of Science in human movement, but no one actually knows what human movement is, and they have actually since changed the name to human movement and exercise science. So yes, that's it. That's what I did after high school. And that's
I'm glad they changed it, because human movement seems so ambiguous.
Yeah, it just really means nothing to anybody. I mean, it means something to us who do it, because that's what it's about, the movement of human body and all the things that make that happen, you know, physiology and biology and biomechanics, etc. But yeah, it didn't mean anything to anyone else. You tell people, I'm doing human movement, and they're like, oh, what's that? It sounds really lame. And I'm like, no, it's actually really interesting. I really enjoyed it. And I met Ant there. That's where I met Ant. We met in first year uni. We were going out by around this time, actually. It's June now. So we started going out around June in the first year of uni. So Ant had just turned 18. I was 17. And yeah, we're both turning 40 this year. There you go.
Oh, wow. That's so nice. Yeah, I knew you guys met at uni.
Yeah. So like, I remember you telling me this story. Oh, yeah.
Where you were just like, he doesn't like me. He doesn't like me.
Well, because, yeah, we met in human biology lab like in about like the first week of uni, and somehow I found myself at this table, like this big metal table, where I was the only girl and I was with like seven boys. And he asked me to borrow a pencil, and like every other guy at the table just collapsed in laughter. And I'm just like sitting there going, what? What is this thing like? What is this code for? And I've asked him, and he's like, I don't know why everyone just started laughing that day. But meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, dude, it's the first week of uni. How do you not have a pencil? Like, what the? But yeah, it was, but it took a while.
That was such a classic pickup move of being at uni in the 90s, though, like international signal for I think you're cute.
I know, so hilarious. So yeah, it was quite funny. We did have I think we had about a 4 or 5 month courtship, and where everyone's like, I think you're going to have to give up, Kelly, because like it's pretty clear that you like him and he's not asking you out. You guys have played 7,000 games of table hockey together, like – who does that? And yeah, eventually a friend of mine had to just kind of literally go and tell him, like, we're basically still in high school here. She's like, do you know Kelly likes you? And he's like, oh. And she's like, do you like her? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, so what are you going to do? And he's like, oh, I guess I'll ask her out. It was so lame. I still can't believe that's how we got together. But yeah, keep in mind.
But that's the Australian way. Yeah. We just kind of like, you can't ever go straight up to someone and be, you know, it's like, hey, I think you're awesome. You have to just kind of accidentally fall on each other one night at the pub and then just stay together forever. That's how
pretty much pretty much how it happened in the end. So Carl, what did you do straight out of high school?
I went to uni immediately, and so I graduated by the time I was 21, and I have a double degree in education and English literature, majoring in journalism from the University of Canberra and the ANU. So back then you could do double degrees across the two unis,
which you can't do anymore. 3 years, which is pretty solid. Or is that 4 years?
It was four, yeah.
Ah, okay.
So I also have an advanced diploma in engineering in jewellery design from NMIT, and I'm a qualified jeweller and watch mechanic.
That is amazing.
So just to throw something a little bit random in there, I used to work in a watch shop when I was going through uni, and I was always into jewelry design and that kind of thing, and I had to do like a course, and so I've got like a little certificate thing that says that I'm allowed to fix watches. But that was 10 years ago, so I actually don't think I'd be able to fix some newfangled modern watch these days. And yeah, I'm also a qualified jeweler.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so first jobs, what was your first job?
My first job ever, I know that it was that this meant the first job out of uni, but I started working the second I was able to because I really like money. And I worked at a news agent in Woden Plaza called Top News. And I worked there from the age of 14 and 9 months, which is when you're legally allowed to start working in Australia. And I worked there until I started teaching when I was just 22. So yeah, I worked there for all that time and it was wonderful. And the girls I worked with were just beautiful. And I worked Friday nights and Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings. And I just loved it. It was such an amazing job and yeah, really beautiful people. And yeah, it was gorgeous. But then I started, so my first real job as a proper grown up. Oh, I also worked in childcare and I worked at a bar at a theater in Canberra while I was at uni. And that was amazing because I got to watch the show. So I'd serve.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was incredible. I'd get to serve drinks for 40 minutes at the beginning of the show. And then I'd get to ding the bell and then everyone would go in. And then I'd sneak in and stand in the corridor and watch it and then sneak back out again. And yeah, that's probably why I love musical theatre so much. And yeah, so my first actual proper job was a drama teacher in Canberra.
Ah, there you go. Well, yeah, my first while I was still at school job was at Adventure World here in WA.
What is Adventure World?
Is it a theme parky kind of thing? But, you know, what was my job? I was working in the restaurant, which was basically McDonald's. So I was working at McDonald's. And then
is Adventure World still open?
Yeah, it's still going. And they actually have.
Should I go there?
Just depends how much you like rides. Because, like, if you're used to, like, Dreamworld where, like, their rides are a killer, like, this is kind of like, you know, 12-year-old, like, though it's more for, like, younger people. But I don't know. They've added lots of, like, it used to be a lot of water slides and wet rides, but now they've added a lot of dry stuff as well. And I haven't been there in years. I got Ant a job there, actually, because I was still working there while I was at uni. And I got Ant a job there as well. So we were both like working in the restaurant and I was like his boss and he never listened to me. And I like, we had lots of fights about that. But then when I was at uni, so because I was studying exercise science, I got a job at the sports center at uni as a fitness instructor. And I actually did a whole bunch of other things there. Like they ran school holiday programs. I was like a leader in the school holiday programs. I worked on the front desk reception. So like, I just like knew every aspect of that place by the time I was coming up to graduate. And then just probably about 2 months before I was graduating, a full-time job came up there as a programs officer, which is like running all the, like, you know, the intervarsity programs and the school holiday programs and all of that. And because I was just basically a part of the furniture by that time, yeah, that was my first full-time job out of uni and I got it before I even quite finished. And it was really funny that I got that job because human movement is like one of those degrees where everyone's like, but what are you going to be when you finish uni? Yeah. And like, you just can't, it's not like you're studying dentistry or medicine. Like you can't say I'm going to be a doctor or whatever. Like
an arts degree.
Yeah. Like, it is like an arts degree. And people get really distressed when you can't tell them what you're going to be when you finish uni. But the thing that I really loved about human movement was that you could really do anything. Like if you had an interest in physiology, which I did, but I actually didn't want to work in it, you could go on to become like a sports scientist or a physiologist. If you had an interest in psychology, you could go and become a sports psychologist, you know, biomechanics. A lot of people went on to become teachers. Like Ant actually went on to do teaching. So there was just a lot of things that you could do. But so I got into sports admin and I spent about 18 months in that role and then it was time to move on. So I'll go straight into like, you know, other jobs and study after that first job. So I spent 18 months, which doesn't sound like a long time in that role, but it felt like a long time. I think because there was a lot going on in my life around in that period. So I was training to be an elite athlete in triathlon. I was competing as an elite athlete in triathlon, like trying to be the best in WA. And it was very frustrating that I was working for a sports kind of organization and they were very unsupportive of my desire to be you know, the best triathlete, best female triathlete in WA. So it was just a battle for me to leave work each day to go to training.
Yeah, you spoke about that before, saying that you were competing against athletes where it was their whole job and they had support where they could just like train all day.
Well, yeah, or really they were students, you know, like, you know, so they were students. So they were like, you know, they'd go to uni for like 2 hours and then they'd go home, or they just weren't doing anything other than living with mum and dad and training. And I'm like, and I'm doing, not even doing a full-time job, but yeah, it was a real, like, every day was a bit of a shit fight to be able to actually leave on time. So it was that real, the workplace had a mentality of if you left work on time, you were deemed a clock watcher. And that really frustrated me because I never ever left work undone. Like, I was just extraordinarily efficient. I got everything done in, you know, so that I could leave work at 4:30 or 5 o'clock to go to training. So it was a really difficult time in that way, because I kind of had these two competing desires. Like, I really loved working and I actually really loved, I love the people I worked with, but it was just, you know, it was getting really difficult. Then my brother actually died in a car accident. He was 18. He died in a car accident. And I'll never, and around the same
time. I'm really sorry. That's just awful.
I know. It was pretty shit time. And it was, I think it was worse because he died at the start of December, and then uni always takes a break at the end of December. So, and that's where I was working. So I was working at the university sports center. And so, like, you know, you kind of, so we all took a break at the end of December, and it kind of felt like I came back in January and everyone was like, okay, so you're over that now. And it's like, well, no, you kind of don't get over your brother dying in a month.
There is something odd about people dying kind of between December and January that
it's
kind
very
of
weird.
Erases it for other people somehow. It was so when I, not long ago, a friend of mine, her boss died. He was the Australian climber, ice climber, who died with his fiance in New Zealand. It was on the news. Yeah, it was only like 2 or 3 years ago, but he died in January and he's a school teacher. Oh no, he died a couple of days after Christmas, and then school started and everyone was talking about it and sad about it because he wasn't there and he was supposed to start the year. But because of the time he died, it didn't affect the school year. They just sort of got someone else to come in and take over. And I mean, I'm not speaking specifically for that particular incident, but it actually seemed like a weird blessing and a curse that it happened at that time, because it didn't really affect anyone else but the family at that time. And obviously everyone was really sad that he died because he was amazing. But if it happened in June, everyone would have been screwed.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just the way that other, because when you lose someone, like, so everyone's there for you in those early weeks. And then usually around week 3 or week 4, everyone kind of gets back on with their lives, which is completely fine. That's as it should be. But it's a weird kind of period. So that happened over that kind of break. And then I came back. And then it wasn't like everyone was like, oh, well, okay, you're over it now. But there was a little bit of that sense of feeling. And so I was really struggling. Aunt and I, then we broke up largely because of triathlon. So I kind of just, I'd always been a little bit too focused on triathlon to the detriment of the relationship. And then I doubled down a bit after my brother died because it was the only thing that I could kind of control. So it fractured our relationship too much. And we split up. And then, and then I'll never forget, I had this review at work and it was to get like this little, you know, 3% pay rise. Like, it's basically just inflation. And
or otherwise known as a golden star.
Yeah. And the person who gave me the review said, look, we're not going to give you your 3% pay rise because you haven't been a great person to work with for this last 3 months. And and so that was just like, I was pretty devastated. I was already very, very, I was unhappy in life. I was unhappy in the role. I was unhappy at having to battle to be able to go to, you know, go to training every day, feeling like people are going, oh, I can't believe you're leaving. And so it was just this, all of that added up. I'd always had this real love of design. So I was, already self-taught in Photoshop and InDesign and, you know, I was like making things pretty. And my best friend was a graphic designer as well. So, you know, I was always looking over her shoulder, looking what she was doing, going, oh, you know, I wish I could do that. That looks so cool. And like right around that time, I saw this ad in the paper for like this 9-month intensive course in, you know, web and graphic design. So I kind of showed it to her and said, what do you reckon? And she's like, well, that's, it kind of is everything that you need to know to go and be a graphic designer. And I was like, okay. So yeah, I kind of ran the idea past my mum and dad and I thought they would just be like, oh my God, like you've just done a three and a half, four-year degree. Like, well, you can't just turn your back on that. And my mum's like, oh yeah, no, I just always thought you should probably get into design. Like, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that's good. And
that information would have been helpful 4 years ago.
Well, I think she probably knew. She said it to me 4 years ago. I would have gone like, no, I really, because I'd always wanted to do human movement. I really love sport. I wanted to work in sport. And then I worked in sport and realized, oh, this is actually not as fun as I thought it would be. I love sport, but I don't want to work in it. So, yeah, so actually then I went and did that course. I did that 9-month intensive course and it was pretty, pretty full on. But, yeah, I managed to – a month after finishing up on that, I landed a job as a graphic designer with a marketing agency and I would stay with them for the next 4 years. So, yeah, that was interesting career flip because, yeah, Ant and I see people from uni. Back then we would see people from uni and they'd be like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm a graphic designer. And they're like, wow, it's amazing where a human movement degree can take you. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, so after that first job as a drama teacher, what did you get up to, Carl?
I didn't have an amazing experience in my first year of teaching. I was placed at a school. They have a thing in the ACT called the mobility clause, and they introduced it when I first started teaching, whereby a new teacher can only stay at their first school for 2 years, their second school for 4, and their second year for 6.
Oh, right.
Specifically to avoid what happened at the first school that I went to. Everyone there had been teaching there for 30 years and they didn't like new blood very much.
Right.
So they weren't terribly welcoming and it was not a very supportive environment. I loved the kids. They were fantastic. But after my first year of teaching, it was college drama, so it was year 11 and 12. It was very high pressure, making sure that kids got good scores to go to uni. And I was 22. That was a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And I'd barely been out of school myself. I'd been out of school for like 4 years myself. So after that, I got offered a job at the University of Canberra in the English Language Centre. So I worked there for 2 years and I got the same amount of money for about 10% of the stress, which I really, really liked. And the job I had, I was in front of a computer all day. There was lots of like marking and organizing things. And I really loved it because I'm good at organizing things. And Ben sent me a link to a blog called Susie Bubble, Style Bubble. And she was one of the first fashion bloggers. And she was just this, she worked for ID magazine and she's an amazing, crazy dresser. And I just looked back through like a whole year of her outfits and I was fascinated. And Ben was like, you dress weird. Why don't you start doing this? So, yeah, so that was in 2007 and Ben bought me smaggle.com and I started blogging and my workmate Brownie would take my outfit shot every lunchtime and I'd upload the photo and back then it took about 20 minutes to upload the photo and then I'd write about our day and like what we had for lunch and what we were doing that night because we were like, we were really close and we still are now. She's lovely, but it was one of those really beautiful work relationships where you just, like, we just loved each other so much and we used to work every second Saturday to run the tests as well. And then we'd hang out on Saturday nights after the tests. Like, we just spent all the time together. And so that friendship kind of was a big part of the blog then as well. So there are people that still say to me now when they read Smaggle that they've been reading since the Brownie days, wow, which I just love.
That's awesome.
It's really sweet. And so that's, so I've had Smaggle turns 10 this year. So that's I've been crazy. Writing 3 to 5 times a week, every week for 10 years. So that's how that started.
So question for you. So have you kind of always been a writer? I mean, you studied English Lit at uni. Did you always think you were going to be a writer or?
Well, I always.
Or was Smaggle kind of really the first like time you started writing? Like, have you always been a writer or was that?
Yeah, I have. I always enjoyed writing in high school, but being a kid who grew up in the 90s in Canberra, there weren't really any opportunities to write. And I always wanted to work for a magazine. So I always wanted to go to, you know, Sydney and intern. But back then that was the only entry point. And the only way you could do that was if you had someone you could live with in Sydney for free while you worked for free for a year in Sydney. So there was a very select few people who could actually get in that way. So I kind of was just very practical about it and resigned myself to the fact that that would probably never happen. And then I started blogging, not knowing that one day it might turn into, because people weren't making money from blogging back in the day. It was just a hobby. And I just started doing it, and I blogged in private for a full month before I made it public just to see if I could do it. And then I just kept doing it, and I didn't make any money off it until probably about 4 or 5 years in. And then I started getting sponsored content, and it's since then it's been, I'd say it's probably been about 50% of my income for, you know, the last couple of, maybe the last 4 or 5 years. And that's just completely baffling to me. That was, I'd never thought that I'd be able to make a living out of writing. So, and then that's led to other stuff. That's the next bit though. You have to do your next bit, and then I'll do my next bit.
Alrighty,
what about you? What about you and writing? Because you've always been a writer.
Yes, I've been a writer pretty much my whole life. And then even like kind of in my triathlon days, I was, you know, like I would write race reports for the Triathlon WA website, and I like maintained the website. So I did a lot of writing for that website, and I was the newsletter editor. So I did a lot of writing for the newsletter. And then once I started working as a graphic designer, kind of design took over for a long time. And yeah, all my creative energy went into the design side of things. So I started in 2006, I quit my job and started my web and graphic design company, which is Swish Design. And it wasn't till 2010. So Jaden was about a year old at that point. And I was really overwhelmed and stressed and in a very bad way. So what do you do when you're in that state? You start a blog.
It's a great idea. You start blogs actually, therapy.
You actually start 3 blogs, which is what I did. I had my personal blog, which I was just writing really inane, try hard stuff on.
We were all so try hard back
God.
In the day.
Do you know, I lost my whole blog a few years ago in 2013, the great blog crash, the big server crash of 2013. And so wiped out everything, and I had to reinstate posts like literally one by one. So do you reckon I reinstated all those inane, cringy posts from 2010? Hell no. So yeah, if anyone ever goes to my blog and goes, oh, this only goes back to like 2012, it's like, there's why. But you know, I was like, I had a blog called I Love Pretty Things, and I was blogging on the Swish Design blog as well. So, you know, it was good because what that was doing, like I wasn't getting any, like design was not fulfilling my creative, giving me any creative happiness at the time, because I was so under the pump that everything I was doing was just like, just get it done, just get it done, just getting it done. There was no time for experimenting or trying new things. Like all I could do is just do what I knew worked. And so it was a bit soul destroying creatively. So yeah, getting back into writing via the blogs was amazing. And then I had like a complete breakdown in 2011, and that's when Ant took over running my business. And at that time, I was like, you know what? I just want to be a writer, and I'm going to make money writing. And so I did, the Australian Writer Centre has this fantastic online course about magazine and newspaper feature writing. And actually, I've met a lot of my great, great writing friends through that course. So I did that course, and then I pitched and wrote a few feature articles for magazines. And then I realized that that is a really hard way to make money.
So hard. Do the work, and then maybe someone will pay you.
Oh God. It's just, yeah, it's, I know people who are doing it, but you know, they hustle and they work hard for it and they do a great job. But I just didn't want to, because I was like, oh my God, like it's so much easier to make money as a designer than it is to make money as a, you know, a features writer. And then around that same time, I think it was 2012, I went to my first pro blogger, and that's when, because I was like, I have 3 blogs and I'm going to monetize them and make lots of passive income. It's going to be amazing. And then I went to that pro blogger and I realized, oh my God, there's a lot of work that goes into generating money from a blog. And I don't want to do that work. Like, I just like writing. I don't want to do all the other crap that's associated with generating an income from a blog. So that was really awkward. But it was also quite freeing, because I came back from that going, you know what? You make your money being a designer, and then you get to do your writing for fun. And that was, yeah. So, you know, I have not really ever made any money from my blog per se. I've made money from my books, but not from my blog. Yeah, other than off blog. So people who know me via my blog have gotten me to be their designer, and that's been quite fun. So yeah, so I was designing, I was writing for fun on the blog, and I started writing books. And realistically, that's really where I want to be. So currently I'm trying to set up my life to just be able to write books. But the reality is, until I become like this amazing worldwide best-selling author.
Which you will
which
be.
Which will it'll happen. Be like, Kelly, you know, it's going to. But until it that
it'll be
happens.
Like Gretchen Rubin, Kelly Exeter, definitely. Mark Maron.
I mean, we've already, like, Straight and Curly has been mentioned in the same article with Gretchen Rubin's podcast. Like,
it
how
was.
Many
that
times
was insane.
Now?
That was insane. I was just like, wow. It really was just like Gretchen Rubin and Oprah. Like,
yeah, and then
article.
Us. And we were like, oh,
Curly.
Yeah. Kelly and Carly high-fiving each other yeah. across the country.
We're just like our peer Oprah.
Yeah. Yes. Just mention this in the same breath. But yeah, until yeah. I become a best-selling author, unfortunately something has to fund my life. And yeah, and it's yeah, I'm quite happy with where I am now, where, you know, I design for money effectively, and we obviously Ant and I run the design business together, and we also have a web hosting business. But the good thing about the businesses are that they're set up well enough now and well enough with other people doing the bulk of the work that yeah, I now get kind of 2 days a week to write blog posts, podcast, and write books. So yeah, I can't complain, I have to admit. That's kind of where I am now, and I'm pretty happy with it. What about you?
I'm pretty similar. So after working at UC, when I started Smaggle, I moved to Melbourne without Ben to study jewelry design for 2 years. It was something I just always wanted to do, and I never took a gap year. So I found myself, I was like 25 and I had 2 degrees and was working at a university in Canberra, and I just kind of saw this life happening ahead of me that I didn't want. Yeah. I love Canberra and I will not hear anyone say a bad word about it, but career-wise for me and just with what I wanted to do with my life, it wasn't the place for me, and I knew that. So I applied for this course, and that it was sort of, I always wanted to study jewelry design. It wasn't necessarily something I wanted to make a career out of. It was kind of my exit.
Yeah.
So I went to Melbourne and I worked part-time as a casual special needs teacher, which I absolutely loved. And I'm so grateful to the beautiful schools who were so supportive of me, because I was studying and because I was still like, I was blogging as well. So I was going on like for mills and blogging trips and things, and I was all over the place. So these schools were incredible. I just call them and say, I'm available for the next 8 weeks, and they just book me whenever I was available.
Awesome.
So they were just beautiful and so supportive and just gorgeous. So I had a really positive experience doing that. And this was sort of all while I'm building up my writing portfolio and monetizing Smaggle. And then Ben moved to Melbourne 2 years later. And so we've been together in Melbourne for kind of the last 4 years. And that's been, yeah, just building up Smaggle and my writing portfolio and starting freelancing. And so now, yeah, so now my life is freelancing, it's podcasting. I work part-time for a few other brands. I do, you know, social media and blog post writing and content creation for a few brands, and that just kind of keeps regular money coming in. I probably don't need to do that, but we've been through this several times before in that I just like work and I like money, and I would rather have too much of it than not enough.
And it's not like you like money because you like spending it. It's just you like the buffer. Like, it's funny because
like
you like money, but it just like literally pains you to spend it. So it's hilarious.
Yeah, I like looking at it. I just like to collect it. So yeah, so now I freelance, write, and I blog, and I podcast, and I have an online crochet school business. It was interesting. I popped an article up the other day in the Straight and Curly group because a few people were asking about my capsule wardrobe that I did.
Yeah.
And someone said, oh, how did I not know that Smaggle was a thing? And
oh
I
my
think
God.
We don't really mention our blogs very often.
Don't.
So just I'll do mine. I'm at smaggle.com, which is smaggle.com. And Smaggle is the word Smaggle is a word that Ben and I invented. And it's a cross between a smash and a snuggle. So it's kind of like really aggressive affection. Like, you know, when you pick up a kitten.
That's awesome.
And you just want to squeeze it until it makes that little like meow sound. Like it's kind of just being a little bit too excited about everything. And so Smaggle is a lifestyle blog that teaches people how to be the star of their own lives. And Crochet Coach is an online community for people who want to learn to crochet. And every month we have a new project and we work on it all together. And there's a Facebook group attached to it, and it's the greatest thing ever. And I love it. So My plan now is I'm going to try very hard to stop freelancing, not because I don't love it, just because it's stopping me from really making Crochet Coach reach its full potential. And there's so much potential there. It's going very well. And also making sure, like, just refreshing Smaggle and kind of, I really want to do some sort of a self-improvement product or course or book with Smaggle, and I've been stewing on it for like 10 years and I don't quite know the direction of it, but I know it's there. And if I can back off a bit on freelancing, I just might be able to bash out a book, I reckon.
Ooh, that's exciting. I'm so glad you put that out there. I'm very proud of you.
not in your and Kelly, tell us your stuff. Tell us all about your books and your website and all the stuff that you do as well.
Okay, so my main website now is at kellyexeter.com.au. So the blog for a long time was called A Life Less Frantic, and, you know, it's still pretty much, that still fits. You know, I changed the website a few years ago to just be Kelly Exeter because it's really, it's where you find everything about me. It's where my three books sit. So I've written three books, one called Your Best Year Ever, Seven Simple Strategies for, can't even, hang on. I have to get it off the shelf because I can never remember the tagline. Well, yeah, seven simple ways to shift your thinking and take charge of your life. So, yeah, that's how details oriented I am. I can't remember. I'm doing well to even remember the titles of my own books. My second book was called Practical Perfection. And that book, even though it's called Practical Perfection and you might think it's for perfectionists and you might think, hey, I'm not a perfectionist, it's really for people who set really high standards for themselves and then get frustrated at themselves for not being able to reach those high standards or maintain them. And this book kind of just teaches you how to manage that, because that is actually perfectionism. You just don't know it. And it teaches you how to manage it and still achieve the things that you want to do. And then my third book was 20 Simple Shortcuts to Small Business Success. And it's just like a lot of people have said, this is like a lifestyle business book. And I'm like, awesome, because that's kind of like what I do.
That's what you're aiming for.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah. So really my website or the people that I speak to there, I generally speak to highly driven people who want to lead a simpler life. And I kind of help people, you know, you can still achieve big things in your life. You still can achieve your big goals, but you can also lead a simpler life as well. And I help people kind of get on top of overwhelm and find their way to that simpler life. So yeah, and that's, yeah, and kind of where I have landed now, although work is very, very busy at the moment and things have gone a bit crazy and are threatening to encroach on my two writing days a week, I am trying to maintain the boundaries strong and make, like, yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday are my Swish design days where I'm a web and graphic designer and I do love that aspect of my life. I do love making things look good. But then, yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays are kind of like my writing and content creation days now, where I get to be in that self-improvement space, which I really love, and I love being in there with you, Carl.
Yeah, same here. I really like that we have the same sort of weeks. I work for other people 2 days a week and I work for myself 3 days a week, and I quite like that balance. I look forward to Fridays, because Fridays I have very strict things that I do for a brand that I work for. And it's actually just really lovely to have a no-brainer day.
Yeah.
Because the work I do for them, like, it's important work and I do it well, but I can just like chuck on some music and have a bit of a sing while I'm doing it. And, you know, it's quite nice being not in charge of every single aspect of a thing. Like, I just have to do one part of this bigger picture and then I give it to them and they give me money for doing it. And there's something that is just so lovely and simple in that. But then I get to have my days when I work for myself. So today is a day I'm working for myself, and I get to record with you today. And then this afternoon I get to work on a beginner bootcamp course that I'm setting up for Crochet Coach to give people a lot of direction. So it's going to be a tick box of skills that they need to tick off and show me that they've ticked off, because I think people really like accountability. So that's really cool. And I get to work on that, but that's hard work. Like, this is creating a whole course and content that people haven't, like, no one's sort of done this in crochet before. So it's really taxing, and I get to use my brain in a different way. And I just think it's quite, they're healthy lifestyles because they're diverse.
Yeah, agree totally. So yeah, guys, if you have any questions, we've kind of laid it all out there for you. But if you have any other questions about how did you get into this or how did you get into that, please do come into the group and ask us. You know, we love chatting about this stuff. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com. We also have an incredible Facebook group full of fellow self-improvement junkies. So if that's you too, come join us at facebook.com/groups/straightandcurly.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.